Hi everyone, it's Lydia here. I have said this once, twice, a thousand times. I will say it until I'm blue in the face. I know so many amazing women in their 30s who are ambitious and interesting, creative and successful, and have done so much with their lives. And with loads of these women, they've achieved so much, but there's something that they're still looking for, which is a partner. And in a world full of JD Vances and people with far too loud opinions on what other people are doing in their lives, not just men, but let's just be honest, a lot of men having opinions on what women are doing in their lives, your 30s can be really difficult to navigate when there's so much you want to achieve and you'd love to do that with a partner, but it just hasn't happened for you. From my observations on this, and I would really love people to, you know, get into our DMs on Instagram or leave us a comment in the comment section of this episode. But from my observation, it feels like there's this kind of tightrope walk of really going after what you want in life, but also kind of waiting to meet the right person to do it with. And it's difficult, isn't it? Because if you're looking for a partner, then obviously you want to make some really big life moments with that person. But also it's like, well, if it's not happening, how long do you sit around for? And it plays into all of these big decisions in our lives. Things like, do you want to have children? Do you want to freeze your eggs? What kind of house are you going to buy? Do you want to buy a house at all? Where do you want to settle down? All of these things are often playing into our dynamic for the version of our life that we want, right? And maybe some of you will recognize this feeling of being in a sense of limbo between the life that you have now and the life that you can imagine for yourself in the future. Maybe you feel like you're not committing to things for yourself because you're waiting for the right person to join you on that journey. And this is part of, but definitely not all of, the conversation with our guest today. Today's guest is Mackie, or as I like to call her, Magic Mackie. And I met her through Lauren's coaching. If you recognize the name Lauren, there's been two Laurens on the podcast so far. There's been Lauren Tallulah, who was talking about ADHD, and there's been Lauren, who is our coach, both mine and Mackie's, and she was talking about purpose and kind of losing your purpose but finding your path. If you're interested in that, go back and have a listen to that episode. Mackie is very vibrant and creative. She's someone who's very complex and reflective and really gets deep into her emotions in the most beautiful way, I think. She's also someone who you'd call definitely like a free spirit. She's got this real like creative energy and this kind of electricity and excitement to her. That's why I call her Magic Mackie, because she kind of brings that feeling to everyone that she meets and every interaction. And with that thing of being a free spirit, she's also kind of unconventional. And that's really what this episode is about. It's about unconventional routes to happiness. And when you want something for your life, how do you just go after it and decide, look, I might not have every single part in place right now, but I'm not going to let that hold me back from achieving the things that I really want. For Mackie, a massive part of that was a home and like a base and a creative space and this really interesting place where she could pour in all her creative energy. And that's what led her to moving to Portugal and buying a house and renovating it and creating Casa do Sol. It really feels like a community space, but at the same time, this real reflection of who she is. And I think for me, I just see it as this real embodiment of self-love and choosing to put what you want at the front of the decisions you make and not be kind of waiting around for anyone to show up. And we talk about this in this episode. We talk about the Casa. We talk about the journey of her making that decision to move to Portugal. We talk about what it's like as life there and like community and kind of starting afresh in a new place, or at least embedding yourself into a new community. And we also talk about this idea of love and meeting the right person and how you make decisions when that's something that's kind of out of grasp at this moment. If you've ever felt like you have a sense of limbo, or that you're putting things on hold for somebody else, or maybe someone that you're hoping to meet, you're putting things on hold for them, then maybe it will help you kind of daydream a little bit about what you really want. Maybe it's a little bit of a daydream that can turn into a reality for some of us. Oh, and also, if you have a second right now, I would be so, so grateful if you could either follow the pod on whatever you're listening to, or give it a 5-star review, or leave us a little comment. It really is appreciated. But anyway, that's enough from me. Let's get into it.
If life feels like a whirlwind of clarity and confusion, pull up a chair. Welcome to The Weird Years.
Mackie, welcome to the beige couch.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
You're like holiday mermaid princess.
A little bit. Fresh off the boat from Sicily. Yeah, it's good.
I really love that. I'm very, very jealous.
That's great.
Thank you so much for being here. We're going to jump into, I think we're going to end up going everywhere, probably.
Yeah.
I think it will be a windy one. But talking about unconventional roads to success or happiness, unconventional roads to happiness, and all of the expectations that we set ourselves and how we can throw those out. And also, I think the journey of, I don't know how you feel about this phrase. I actually was thinking about this on the way here. I was like, I kind of don't like the phrase of doing the work.
It makes it sound like a chore, like it's prescribed, doing the work. Yeah.
It feels like a little bit like hard work, which is fine, but and it is hard work inevitably. Yeah. But also I think it sounds a little bit like you're broken from the starting point. Do you know what I mean? It's like you have to do the work.
Work to do.
To get to some level of normality.
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, not planning too much, actually. Mm. Just following your intuition. Of course, having goals in place, but and experimenting with different tools, different self-development modalities, and surrounding yourself with the right people.
100%. Mm. Well, before we kick off, do you want to give us a little overview of what you do? Magic,
yes.
Mackie, as I like to call
Magic
you.
Mackie, that's nice. Well, I'm a mermaid. No.
When you're not being a mermaid, what do you
do? When I'm not being a mermaid, I am a personal brand curator and founder of a branding agency called Studio Mackie, which I launched in 2017. Mm. And the last couple of years, I've been transitioning more to supporting entrepreneurs with their mindset, their values and vision, and helping them build purpose-led businesses, basically.
I love it. Before we get into everything, I also want just a tiny little teaser of Casa de Sol, please.
So Casa de Sol is my home, sweet home, in sunny Portugal, 45 minutes north of Lisbon, that I bought 3 years ago. And I am creating the Casa into this shared haven where people can connect with nature, because it's in a valley bowl, beautiful west-facing sunsets, with themselves through retreats. So it's a retreat space. And also I've just turned my garage into an art gallery. I actually installed the gallery wall in the foyer the other day for a photo shoot, and it's basically got my friend's artworks surrounding it. So yeah, a space to cultivate creativity, curiosity, and yeah, if anyone needs a space, let me know.
I'm sure loads of people will jump at that. I want to go into, because it's been a journey for you to get to the Casa, right?
Yeah.
I think what I've loved in getting to know you over maybe nearly a year now is that you, of someone who, in my view, is very like unapologetically yourself. Or just maybe unapologetically actually makes it sound like you're a bit like, I am who I am, which I don't think is how you are. You're more like very accepting of yourself, or the growing that you're doing and all of these versions of yourself. What led you to the self-discovery that then led you to Portugal?
I think I've always been a free spirit. Mm. Like, I've always loved traveling. So every year I'm on a journey to discover new cultures, to seek inspiration, meet new people. And I think it was when, probably I would say when I really, well, lockdown, right? That was when we had that moment to pause and realize, okay, what makes me really happy? And what's the kind of life that I want to live? And I actually got married just before lockdown, September 2019, to a very beautiful man. But lockdown highlighted the fundamental cracks in our relationship and the incompatibilities. And then the journey, I would say, began after that.
Right.
Because we all had the space, right, to sort of figure out like our values, our purpose. And actually, that was one of the things I said when I broke up with my husband, was our values are not aligned. And he's like, you make everything a work, you know, bring it into a work context, because, you know, value is important, as you know, as well, building brands. I said, no. Values are intrinsic for personal and professional direction and development. So yeah, so gratitude and collaboration, those were two fundamentals which we maybe weren't quite aligned on. And from then on, I went to Portugal after lockdown lifted for 6 weeks to get some space. I think changing your environment, just to recalibrate is just such a great way to sort of work out what that next chapter looks like, yeah, or just to sort of let go of stagnant energy or something that might be holding you back.
That's like, I'm always very impressed by people who make that decision to like walk away from a marriage. It's so ballsy to be like, because there's so much expectations, right? You've had, yeah, this wedding, but you've been together quite a long time at the point when you're married.
4 years.
Yeah, so much guilt
because he didn't want to break up, and but it was just a feeling. And that's when I sort of learned about somatic therapy. Ooh. I've got a dear friend called Vanessa in Berlin who has given me a lot of sessions, but it's like, we're just feeling into your gut, right? And that intuition is just like, this doesn't feel sort of harmonious. And yeah, it was very hard. It wasn't an easy decision at all. You know, 7 months married and then realizing, oops, I don't think this is the right decision. But I guess pre-pandemic, we were just living and working at a rapid pace. So the depth to which I think we might not have really known each other, because we were sort of ships in the night working and lived quite independent lives in a way, which I didn't really realize until we went into lockdown. But no regrets. It was a beautiful chapter. It was an amazing wedding. Yeah, it was a really fun party.
Did you feel like a pressure as well? Because it is kind of like the trodden track, I guess. Like, you had a successful business, you're with a partner. Like, it seemed like that was the next step. Do you think that played into it? Or, cause I don't think of you as someone who lives by rules, but maybe that's the version of you that I know now.
Yeah, I guess it was being together for a while was the sort of the natural next step. But my business was really ramping up and it was a full-time job. And I was maybe more excited about sort of growing that than perhaps taking the next chapter, you know, having kids perhaps at that time, where there was so many places and projects and countries that I wanted to explore. I guess, yeah, I wasn't ready to sort of settle down, sort of, so to speak. But I guess maybe deep down, also knowing that this isn't the right person to do that with.
Yeah.
And I know when I find the right person, then hopefully that chapter will begin.
Also, hopefully it's someone who like nurtures all of those things and adds energy to it, right? Rather than feeling, I think it's so easy in a long-term relationship to feel like you've got your work here and you've got your partner here and you're trying to like balance those two energies rather than them feeding into each other, which is like the ultimate dream.
Yeah, balancing the two was hard.
Yeah.
Especially as he wasn't working during lockdown, which was very tough. So, and I was super busy. But yeah, and then that next chapter, sort of when lockdown lifted, just being in Portugal, feeling the sunshine on my skin and just seeing that, oh my gosh, there's so much opportunity here. I didn't know anyone. I knew like a couple of people loosely, but I wanted a challenge. I wanted more stimulation. And I think that's something I'm always striving for, is variety. I love variety in life. Typical manifesting generator.
Well, you're going to have to explain that to people because I know what you're talking about, but most people won't.
Yeah, so there's this sort of principle called human design, and we are all sort of broken into six different archetypes based on our energy blueprint. So I'm a manifesting generator, which means I have a lot of energy and I'm able to manifest and create sort of long-term visions. With that comes a bit of creative chaos. Typically, people who are manifesting generators are quite free-spirited and can multitask. And then the other ones are manifestors, generators, reflectors, and projector. Tend to be the sort of more academic types that need longer periods of time to rest. So don't do so well with a 9 till 5. And it's just honoring, having that knowledge. You basically can do a free sort of chart. It's a human design chart. You upload it with your date of birth and the time, and then that will create this incredible blueprint, which is based on the chakras and
like
energy
astrology
system.
Right, from the
exactly
time you're born,
quantum physics meets astrology meets the sort of chakra system, and then there's just data within that you can pull.
Have you always been into this stuff, or was this a lockdown discovery?
I discovered this was just after lockdown, I think. Went on a date with a guy who was a nutritionist, and he introduced it to me. And then I had a reading by a human design specialist. If you want to go deeper, it's a bit like having your chart read. They can decipher sort of all the information, and it's like what you're meant to, you know, do and be in this life. And it's also really useful when like going into business with someone or partnering with someone in a relationship. Are our energies sort of aligned, and just honoring each other's sort of set blueprint, really? Because, you know, leopards don't always change their spots. And that's, I think, an energetic thing very often.
Yeah. Do you think, like, when you say it helps you kind of guide, or it helps you pick up where in life you should be focusing, when you came out of that relationship and in the time of lockdown, did you feel like energetically, like, there's so much for me to do and I'm just roaring to get out into the world? Or was there any level of like fear or confusion on direction?
There was, I think what was exciting is this ability to be able to work anywhere in the world. And I actually employed people during lockdown, never met them. And then I was like, I'm moving to Portugal. Do you still want to work with me? They're like, yeah, sure. Remote working. Cool. Like, it's the thing, you know, everyone felt like a sense of freedom. And I've always wanted to live abroad, and I wasn't able to in that relationship because my partner wanted to, he had to be in the UK. He worked in film. But it was honestly just this burning desire. Sometimes I get these burning desires for quite bold and out there, like moving country or setting up a company or doing, what was the other one? Oh, buying a house. You know, there's just like feeling into a vision, basically. And I had my best friend from university living in Portugal, up in Porto. So having her there was like an anchor. And then the idea of building community was actually quite exciting.
Yeah.
I love people and I love chatting to strangers. It was daunting, of course. It was daunting, and there are many lonely moments. And then Brexit had just come into play, so sort of waiting for the visa to come through took almost a year.
God.
To stay living with parents, sort of house hopping around. It was quite ungrounding, but I was going through the divorce, you know, as well. So actually being still in the UK to heal a little bit past, after breaking up, it was great. Rather than just jumping into Portugal, might have been a bit like, too much.
A bit like running away from it rather than taking the time on it.
Yeah, exactly. And it was a process, you know, as breakups are.
Yeah. Why did you go for Portugal? Out of everywhere, out of interest.
Always felt this is such a cool, calm, rustic and charming place. And I love the ocean, you know, a country lined with beaches. I got a little bit into surfing before going there as well. So I was like, okay, well, this is a passion that I could pursue if I move there. And it was just being there for 6 weeks to get perspective. And it really was this like beaming light at the end of a rocky tunnel, you know, being in lockdown and then breaking up. And it was just, I was just so inspired. Just, I can't explain it. It really was a land of opportunity. I sort of saw it. And also, actually, I did think, because I'm a manifesting generator, we tend to think really far ahead. So I was like, okay, well, if I want a certain lifestyle, maybe childcare, if I want to eat out, if I want to, pursue my creative practices, like painting things, how, and having a studio, I want space. And also to be able to afford those sort of luxuries, like eating out and having holidays and things like that. And being in London, you know, it was getting more and more expensive. And I was working almost two jobs when I was in London, but I was never really breaking even because I lived a lifestyle I couldn't afford.
Right.
So I thought, well, if I moved to Portugal, maybe I could carry on living this quite wild and free and some slightly hedonistic lifestyle, working hard, playing hard, traveling lots. And property as well, you know, to purchase a property that I really wanted to live in.
Mm.
That was another sort of factor. I said, oh, it could be a good investment long term. But it was sunshine and a sustainable lifestyle.
Yeah.
The top two reasons.
It's so, I think that view of like where, like the lifestyle that I want is something that I think people actually completely forget, because you kind of in London, especially when you get to like your 30s and maybe you're thinking about buying a house and you've got like a career that's been going on for 10 plus years, you kind of like forget all the other places in the world. It's only when you like, I don't know, mine will be, I'll suddenly like swipe on someone who I like, you went to uni with or something, and I'm like, oh my God, they're living in like New York, or like they've gone to live in Bali, and you're like, oh yeah, you can actually just like pack up your life and change it if you want to.
Yeah. Yeah, and not having responsibilities, being able to run my business remotely, I was like, I mean, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
And I visited Portugal a couple of times before, you know, with the three-month limit on the tourist visa.
Mm.
And that almost sort of having, like, I had 10 days left on a visa once. And to submit your visa application, you had to commit to a one-year tenancy agreement with 3 months deposit.
Wow.
Or buy something. And I was trying to rent in Lisbon, thinking that's where I wanted to be. It's amazing. But the rent was nearly the same as London. So I started looking to buy, did a vision board, and voila, came to light. No, it wasn't that easy.
We do have to get into the, you always say that you manifest your house. But before we get into that, I think there's so many... people expect women especially to like go down this certain route. And I think this is so fresh in my mind because I've spent literally the last like 4 days fighting men on TikTok about Louise's episode where we're talking about fertility. How old were you when you left the UK and you like that lockdown, after lockdown?
After lockdown. So I was like 34.
Yeah. How do your friends and family, are they like, okay, you've done this massive 180, you're married, you're getting divorced, you're moving to Portugal. Are they freaking out on your behalf for your life? Or were they kind of like, yes, this is Mackie, she knows what she wants?
The latter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very lucky. My folks have always been quite just trusting and liberal, but they're traditional, but liberal at the same time. And I guess they could just see how happy I was and excited. And to be honest, when I've got a mission in mind,
right,
there's nothing that's going to stop me. And also, it's kind of nice for them. They've got a great place to come and visit. Like, I've got my brother and his family coming at the end of the month, and my parents are coming in September. So yeah, it's great. It's great.
I love that. Do you tell me, go into the manifesting the house? Because I've heard this is something you've said before, that it was a vision board.
Yeah, so I really did think, you know, I want to be in the city where all the action is, where the people, you know, I'm building my company, it's good for networking, it's the place to be. But it literally... The rentals were falling through left, right, and center, wanting more and more money. And it was like 6-7 months of just trying to rent, because I think a lot of people were like,
people flooded there.
Flooded.
Quite a lot of people I know went, actually from the creative industry especially.
Yeah.
Because it was suddenly like, you can get a visa. It's post Brexit. It's one of the few places you can get a visa.
Exactly.
Obviously it's so nice to live there.
Yeah, no, exactly. So I was really trying to rent stuff. And then I got COVID just before Christmas. This was 3.5 years ago. And I had all this time to just, it's just space again, you know, kind of carving out that time for yourself to really think deeply, okay, what do I want? I know what my values are, I know what I stand for. I want to be in Portugal. And I don't know why I decided, because I really wasn't in a position to buy when I did it. But I was like, I'm just going to create the dream home situation. So I sat there one night and I collated images, a few off Pinterest. And I built this A4 page, which had these beautiful countryside homes with pools, swimming pools, and two olive trees either side of the door, a yurt in the garden, beams, rustic wooden tables. Yeah, it was almost like an interiors board, like internal and an external vision board. What else? I also put in a cute little kid up a treehouse and a hot surfer with long hair.
Love it.
Still incoming. Pending. Yeah, I think the key, so I'm now told, is not to ask for too much when you're creating a vision board. It's to be very focused on what the intention is. So for me, that was like home. So what does the dream home sort of feeling look like? And I sort of put it away to the side and then carried on looking for places to rent. And then I just got so frustrated and I just wanted to be in Portugal so badly. And I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to look at other options. I'm going to look to buy because the renting option is not possible. Being there for a couple of months is fine, but it's very ungrounding. And I bookmarked about 7-8 properties on a Idealista, which is the property search platform. I met a broker called Zoe, absolutely incredible woman. I've never experienced someone working so efficiently. And she explained the whole buying process to me. She scheduled all the viewings and in a nutshell, basically, most of the properties were ruins. They needed so much work, like crumbling walls, and they were really in a bad state. And then Casa de Sol, I thought it was a bungalow at first. It was like one floor, three bedrooms, beautiful rolling valley views, surrounded by vineyards. I was like, no, this is too good to be true. And they're like, right, let's go downstairs now. And I was like, what? There's more? And then, oh yeah, and there's an orchard down there with a well. And I was like, what? Like, this is so dreamy. And the smell and the tiles in the bathroom reminded me of my grandparents' home. So that familiarity made me feel, yeah, like a sense of home. And it was loved and looked after. It had a really good vibe. And the Portuguese family that were living there before, the husband, Bruno, and his son were downstairs. And I went to say hello. And I said, hi, Bruno, your house is really beautiful. And he said, thank you. Do you want to buy it? And I was like, yeah, maybe I do. Anyway, it just created this little sort of sweet moment. Went away. 5 days later, Zoe rings me. She's like, Mackie, the American couple have just put on an offer. Because they were the other couple. We actually bumped into them when they were leaving, when we were arriving for the viewing.
It's always so awkward, isn't it? You're
they were like, so like
you're always really, looking at them and being like,
and they were like, competition. It was like, it was such a weird process. And then 5 days later, Zoe was like, the agents rang me, the Americans have put in an offer. Do you want to put an offer? I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, I'm just window shopping. Like, this is, although it feels right. This, you know, I can't buy a house on my own. I need to wait for Mr. Wright. You know, I'm sure I need all this room. Like, I need kids. I need, you know, just thinking the sort of traditional sort of timeline. I there's no way that I can live in this big house on my own, even though space was my big thing. And one of the reasons that I was being quite fussy, actually, with some of the apartments in Lisbon, because they were tiny. Anyway, we both put asking price down on the table, and the owner, Bruno, said, I want to sell to the nice English girl that went and said hello. So if you're looking to buy property, make sure you spread some good vibes to the owner.
Definitely. Or just
personal touch. So yeah, it all happened very quickly. And then I managed to lock myself out 3 hours after picking up the keys, which
great.
Was a real relief. Just
wait, how did
what
you,
have what, I
the,
done?
The door just locked itself.
A gust of wind.
Oh, self locking doors. I quite windy. Think about that for Portugal.
No, it was a dodgy. It was slightly ajar. Like the lock was slightly faulty. I was like, oh, you could have told me that. So it was the first thing I did. Like, change the locks. Anyway, Bruno was in the area and he came and rescued me. But I had a proper meltdown. I was like, what have I done? sort of all excited, sign the paperwork, pick up the keys, go there, and I'm like sitting down. I actually took a work call, like hotspotting on my laptop, sitting on the floor of my new home. And then luckily I had my phone on me and the keys, but it slammed in a way that just like just double locked itself in a really weird way. Anyway, all fine. But that was, that was one of the many trying moments of making a home in a quite big space in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, that's like a very, I actually can't, if it feels like something out of a film to me to imagine like sitting, because I've never bought a house, so I can't really imagine that like sitting down and being like, oh, this is a house. And I also can't imagine like doing it on my own and being like, oh, this is all my house. Like actually there's no, because that's something I think when you buy a house with a partner, there's always like, there's a condition on it, right? Because it's like, well, this is the house of the marriage or the partnership. And you kind of know often that, like, I wouldn't have this house if I was on my own because I wouldn't be able to afford this, or like, you know, I wouldn't choose this thing or whatever. Whereas this is like the true expression of everything that you wanted.
Yeah. Yeah. Deep down, subconsciously, like this is, well, I knew consciously, like, this is where I want to be. I want to be, I grew up in the New Forest, you know, I grew up in nature. So it was sort of coming back home to what I knew as a child. And had I not spent 3 months living in the countryside during lockdown, I don't know if I would have made that kind of crazy move to go from city life for 15 years into the countryside. But I also saw it as an exciting project. I mean, incredibly overwhelming. And I've taken 3 steps forward, 5 steps back quite a few times. And it's getting there. I just finished a little renovation downstairs, which is great. And it just feels more and more like home. And just to be able to share it with others. I love having Airbnb guests now. Nice. Because of like the reviews and... like we've had the best family holiday we've had in years, and they really pick up on like the detail, the artworks, the textiles, and they really appreciate the garden and the sunset. And yeah, it's kind of, I almost feel weird staying there on my own for long periods of time. Not only does it, I go a bit mad, but and that's sometimes a little bit lonely, but it's... yeah, it's just wonderful to be able to share it. And also I need the income to be able to like keep it ticking over.
This is a bit of a left field question, but what you've talked about like home so much, not like house. And I realise I often talk about house, probably because I've never owned anywhere, but to me I'm like, well, if you don't own it, it's not a home. But like what's your relationship to home? Like what was home when you were growing up? Like did that have a good feeling? Like a warm, was it a grounded feeling?
Yeah, no, home has been a really sort of prominent subject I've been exploring recently. And I think ultimately home is where the heart is, I've come to realise. Home growing up, you know, very lucky. My mum is such a creative force. She's an interior designer by trade. So growing up with a lot of textiles and like wall hangings, she combines sort of like garden furniture with sort of bringing the outdoors indoors, like lots of plants, candles in the day and the night. So it was like real sort of sensory overload and very cozy. And one thing I realized as well is I've always had fires, like bonfires or fireplaces in pretty much all my homes. Like when I lived in Clapton, in East London, we had a fire pit in the garden.
Yeah.
Which was quite a... and that's, if we go back to caveman times, we all, like the kitchen in the home is where everyone sort of comes together, you know? And home has always, you know, been very, very lucky to have beautifully designed creative spaces. And I think in a funny kind of way, I am slightly emulating and taking a lot of inspiration from my mum and recreating something to share, you know, ideally with a family and at the moment with friends and with guests. And then also come to realize through the last few years of traveling a lot, trying to find home within someone else. but in a partnership context. Mm-hmm. And I would lose myself sometimes. I'd do almost like the sense of grounding. Just, yeah, really realizing that home, as cheesy as it sounds, you know, home starts from within.
Mm.
And yes, Casa de Sol is my world. And it's very strange. Like recently I've been kind of referring to Casa as like, or feel like it's almost like a partner or a child because it gives me security. It costs me money, but it brings money in.
Mm.
It makes me feel so proud and joyful. And it's, yeah, it actually has given me so much that I feel just in the last couple of months and, you know, doing other amazing coaching with Lauren, big shout out to Lauren, bringing us together and for, I guess, bringing me together in a way. And home is where the heart is, really. But the house is almost like an extension, I would say, in terms of like, the renovations that I've done and the purpose that it has to really host meaningful experiences for people to connect with each other, as I mentioned, and to be in nature. I didn't quite realize how powerfully
crazy,
impactful.
Like,
because I, living in London for 15 years, go, go, go. And I'm still go, go, go. But living in the countryside has done wonders for my nervous system, just balancing all the things, all the life pressures, looking out the window at the two olive trees in my garden, which were in my vision board.
Yeah, love it.
And I forgot to mention, so the handles in the kitchen were the same as the handles in the kitchen in my vision board.
Really?
The door frames with the glass pane in the middle in my vision board, in my house. The same view with no neighbours. Mm. And that was the main thing that I realised. I was like, I don't want to have neighbours. I want to have this sort of immediate neighbours. Like there's some down the road, but
yeah,
like the sense of feeling just really embodied by just trees and fruit. There's like a fruit farm next to me and cork trees. And I think, yeah, that feels great to really be held by nature, quite literally.
Yeah. What's so interesting is like how, to me, it's almost like this dynamic of this thing which is like a cocoon, but also, and like an expression, an extension of yourself, but how you've also managed to make it really like welcoming. Because when I think about, you know, my in-laws, they have a house in Mallorca where they spend most of their time. It's tiny, like it's a one bed, like old kind of finca in the countryside. So we spend all of our time outdoors and like we're always wandering around naked all together, which people always find very odd. They're like, with your in-laws? I was like, yep, all the time. And it's that like complete kind of sanctuary, but how you've done that, but also made it somewhere that you're really willing to bring people into.
Oh yeah.
Because I'm a little bit funny with people in my space. I love it for a few days, but then I get a bit like, ah.
Yeah. See, I love being on my own for a few days and I've really come to enjoy my own company, which is, I would never have sort of thought that, you know, 6 months ago. But a couple of days of my own, just, well, I'm always on work, you know, running workshops, so I'm always sort of speaking to people and meeting up with friends locally. But I absolutely love hosting. That is one of my raison d'être, is like bringing people together in a social capacity, whether it's a workshop capacity, but to host barbecues, Halloween parties. I threw an amazing Christmas party. My girlfriend, Joanna, who lives in Sri Lanka, she came and stayed with me. And together we created like this really sparkly, beautiful, Christmassy backdrop and just delicious food, great music, fire pit.
Yeah.
And the people. Like, I just have such an amazing tribe of friends now in Ericeira, the seaside town that I live near, and Lisbon. And just bringing like 45, 50 people together, just seeing them all just laughing and connecting and sharing stories and into the night is literally just, my favorite thing to do. And I installed a disco ball in my living room.
Fabulous.
Which I feel is quite symbolic of, you know, the centerpiece of unity and celebration. Celebration is one of my values. Just, I really love to, I basically love to party and celebrate life, you know, and each other and the space that I have.
How did you, well, firstly, how did you meet like all those people and how do you, because I think that's something one of my friends is looking to, he really wants to find a partner and he keeps being like, oh, I'm kind of thinking of moving here and I'm kind of thinking about moving here. And it's always through the lens of, like, we always end up discussing like, oh, do you think you'd be able to meet someone there? Like, would you be able to meet friends there? Would you be able to meet a partner? Like, what would that look like? And it's such a massive fear because it gets, it's harder to make friends, like as you get older, I think, especially. Like, how have you cultivated this whole tribe, like in another country so quickly?
So the places that I found my tribes, co-working spaces, bars and community events, so Facebook groups, you know, I obviously went off Facebook, but then moving to another country, Facebook has been amazing.
Right.
Connecting with people on expats in Arisera group, for instance, and people are sharing events. And yeah, I just literally rock up to these events and cafes and bars, surf classes, actually. Mm-hmm. Surf classes have been great. And then when you get in with like one crew and then you meet someone at that event, people are also much more open. I find like being, you know, like in your late 30s in London to try and cultivate community is a bit harder.
Yeah,
so everyone,
sure.
You know, and London is more spread out. But when you live in a smaller community, so if I'm like in Lisbon or in Arisera, my two, I guess, zones where I hang out, people are just so much more open to connecting. And you can actually form very deep relationships very quickly.
Mm.
People are quite trusting. And it did take a while at the beginning. What I came to realize was like, oh my God, it's so nice to be living in an area, so the countryside and 20 minutes from the ocean, just to reduce that pace.
Yeah.
Because I've always been like a million miles per hour. And now realizing how healthy it is to actually not just go, go, go.
I feel like that kind of soaking up the environment that you're in is so much more powerful. Like, I think people hear that like, oh, you know, soaking up the energy that you're around, and for people it can feel like really woo-woo, but actually like it's so innate in us. And when you take any, like one of the things you've talked about so much is like time, like it's so rare for anyone to take any time to reflect on a, like, what do they want in life, but also what environment is best for them. Like, most people I know who end up leaving London, it's often like in quite a sad, like cataclysmic, like I'm burn out and I just want to like get so far away from this city that, yeah, people almost forget to do those check-ins of like, how is the energy of the place that I am seeping into who I am?
Yeah, no, it really is the feeling. Like, you know, I felt Portugal just, I just felt so happy. Like, just sort of, it's grounding. It's a grounding feeling, just sort of settled and around people. You know, Rodrigo is one of my best friends. Two of my best friends are actually Portuguese, which is really lovely because it's quite easy to just get into these expat bubbles of Brits, lots of Dutch and Germans. It's great. It's an international crowd. But that was really important for me to make sure I integrate in the culture. And although my Portuguese is not very good, and
it's a hard language.
It's
remember
a very
the first time
language.
I heard Portuguese, I was like, what the fuck is this? Because you read it and you're kind of like, okay, I presume it sounds a little bit like Spanish. And then you hear people speak it and you're like, to me, I was like, it sounds like Russian or something. It's like a weird mix of this language I'd never heard.
It's tricky. It's tricky. But I'll get there one day. But yeah, luckily I do speak and understand a bit of Spanish, so it's easier to understand. Yeah, just having friends that feel like home. And I actually said that to Rodrigo the other day on his birthday. And I just said, yeah, you know, having friends like you here in this new world that I'm sort of, 3 years into, just, yeah, it's like thanks to those people that it really feels like home. So very grateful to have found like-minded souls.
Mm.
I want to share it with someone now.
Yeah, it's also like I think the energy of, energy I've always been like, weird, but I've started thinking about it a lot more recently. And when I started the podcast, I realized that people that I talk to would just suddenly like open up to me. And I went through this phase where I was doing loads of social stuff and I was always joking to my friends being like, people just love to trauma dump on me. And I love it because I love to get into like the deepest parts of someone's childhood trauma within 20 minutes. Like that's my vibe.
It's a gift.
So I feel like there is also a real reality of if you're someone who's open and like looking for friendship or looking for connection, it's almost like you put out these little radars and you kind of I remember filming an episode and I went straight into Waitrose once and this woman just turned to me and started talking to me about flowers and I was like, in my like 15 years of living in London, no one's ever done that. And I was like, since I've become this person who's asking people to open up, people around me just seem to turn and be like, oh, I really love these flowers, and start talking about their day. And I was like, what is going on?
That's amazing. Yeah, I think you can open up to receiving more and more. It's also like a muscle, isn't it? Exercise that, or desire. It's something that, you know, this has become such a huge part of your world and your passion and your interests. And it's a real gift to make people feel safe, ultimately, right?
But I bet that's what I bet you give off this energy when you're in Portugal and here, of course, but like that you're always very kind of creative and bringing people together person, I think it probably helps, hone them in.
Yeah, for sure. People. And I think when you meet sort of a few people and then it's like, right, everybody come over to mine for a barbecue or a roast. And I think also festivals is a really great way to sort of bond with people. We've got like WhatsApp groups, you know, you go to festival, you create the WhatsApp group, and then you're always keeping each other in the loop. And there's a lot of great festivals in Portugal. Yeah.
One of the things you've mentioned is you've talked a little bit about family and that being on your vision board, and also this idea of like, you know, you'd like to meet someone. What does dating and extending your home and your life look like for you now?
So dating in the last, since the last 3-4 years has been a journey. Lots of fascinating, talented, interesting, gorgeous men have come and gone. And it's hard, right? I live in the middle of the countryside. You're dating apps, of course. Yeah, but then they get a bit soul destroying. So then I go off the dating apps. Yeah. I am very social, so I do go to birthdays or events, and I am meeting some lovely people, but I keep meeting, in the last few years, I've met most of my exes outside of Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
And then, very arrogantly, I just assume they're going to pack up their lives and move to Casa do Sol. And I'm like,
why would they not? You're like, look at the view.
I know, right? I'm like,
there's two olive trees.
Every night, you know, no telly, sunsets, and no. No, I'm like, okay. And that's the weird and wonderful realizations of dating. But one thing I can really confidently and proudly say now is that I've taken so many silver linings and learnings from each relationship and reframing. Oh, you know, all my failed relationships in my late 30s, these are not failed relationships. These are just stepping stones and beautiful, meant to be relationships that give us more knowledge about not only what we need and what are our fundamentals in a relationship, but also just a deeper self-knowing, you know, understanding of ourselves, and also how to show up in relationships more authentically and respectfully.
Yeah.
You know, like I can give you a couple of examples. So being a better listener, not having to solve their problems and jump to X, Y, and Z, you know, problem solving is something, you know, in our line of work that we often do. But no, just listening and just being a little bit more sort of peaceful and just, you know, when you're triggered in relationships and, and certain things that you're like, ah, okay, why is this feeling funny right now? Why am I off kilter? Let's go and address it. So I've actually only ever had therapy when I'm in relationships.
Oh, interesting.
That are going slightly Pete Tong. I'm like, oh, okay, what's happening here? And that's been really helpful. The languages of love and values, I would actually just in a nutshell say, okay, know the values and really understand what expressions of love are important to you.
Mm.
And knowing that in your partner and being able to deliver. And it's not about forcing anything. It's just about being just aware, self-aware and aware of what your partner needs and what makes them feel secure, loved. And physical touch is a big one for me, supporting with growth and support. And then, yeah, the sort of positive affirmations, I'd say those are my sort of top three. I'm just putting it out there. Manifesting. No, but it's not simple. But really, when you have that data, that knowledge,
totally.
Like, okay, well, if someone's not going to... And then I need to be aware, like, okay, what are their needs? And it's one of life's greatest mysteries for me right now.
Yeah.
But...
There's always this narrative, and I think, again, I'm thinking of this because of the battles I've been doing on TikTok with angry men, but there's often this narrative of, like, that women, and especially they project it onto women who are past 30, they're like, oh, they're single because they're too picky. And in my head, that's such, like, all they have, like, this tick box that no one can fulfill. And it's such a bizarre concept, because when you look at most... Like, most marriages end in divorce. That is the reality. Like, most relationships end... So the idea that by having more and understanding yourself would make you less of a viable partner, to me, is like, anyone who thinks that way, like, you're getting it so fucking wrong. Because wouldn't you rather have the person who comes into a situation, like, knowing who they are, understanding, you know, dynamics that work best for them, understanding where they're the best partner to somebody else? You're like, why would that be threatening? Because then you're way less likely to have a rug pull. Mm-hmm. If someone's coming into something, like, open and honest about things, you're not going to date them for 4 years and then suddenly realize, like, oh no, this person's actually got all these layers underneath that they haven't even explored and they don't even know who they are.
I agree. It's you don't really know who you are until you're well into your 30s.
I completely agree. Yeah.
But when you know at the same time, you know, and I think we do evolve as humans through different chapters of our life. But I do think, yeah, just, and a lot of people do know what their fundamentals are and they do know the kind of life that they want to live. And I guess I didn't really know that in my early 30s. I just wanted to keep exploring. I'm an adventurous person and that doesn't bode so well with sort of settling down. And, you know, I love building things, like building projects, businesses, homes. And yeah, I was just thinking back to one conversation I had with a therapist who said, well, Mackie, you know, maybe just one partner is, you know, is not for you. And I was like, well, I'm definitely not a polymath. Like, I was just like, I don't know if I could do that. I'm too sensitive. But I guess it's just looking at more unconventional ways of approaching dating. And I am traditional, though, when it comes to, I only really date one person at a time.
Yeah.
I can't, like, sort of play the field, so to speak. But I must say, since freezing my eggs in March and really understanding the values and those kind of key fundamentals, I'm so much more relaxed. I'm not chasing it. And someone once told me this really interesting analogy: the egg does not chase the sperm.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? At a cellular, biological level, it's just like,
chilling.
We're just like, right, come on, whoever.
Like, if you can get here and you're good, okay. But if you can't, that's
fine. To mirror that, you know, on a sort of wider lens, I'm just like, yeah. Obviously, it's taken a while for me to come to terms with that because, you know, the biological clock's ticking and I want to share my life with someone. But my heart is pretty full right now. I have incredible friends and family. I have 5 godchildren. I have a home that really fulfills me, a career that really fulfills me. And so now I've reframed love and partnership from being this thing that I need to find ASAP, you know, which is understandable. We, you know, a lot of us go through that, to jump on board, let's support each other's growth and supplement what we both have. And we are equals and trusting. Because I don't think I've trusted myself enough. And that's another recent realization. It's just like, just trust in myself that when I'm me, I will attract the right partner. Easier said than done, right, isn't it? But I definitely feel in a much calmer space. And
I think women like you are like exactly what other women dream to be, of like the feminist, like we're like, yes, this is fucking it, just being happy in yourself and building this amazing rich life and then looking out to the world and seeing what else there is that can build on top of that, but being like whole in yourself. And it's also like, I think the exact women that like the patriarchy is terrified of and it's always telling us don't exist. So I'm really glad you could come to the couch and be like a real version of that, because I think it is, you know, anytime you hear these stories of, you know, single women are happier and stuff, or women are buying houses. I think, 30% of UK households are single people now, and they're much more likely to be, like, women are buying their own homes much faster than single men. So it's like a lot of women are just being like, yeah, I'm just going to build my life. And then if you fit into it, I think it's terrifying for a lot of people to see that and be like, oh my God, there's going to be all these happy, fulfilled women. What does that mean for the world?
Yeah. Lots of dogs.
Lots of dogs. Yes, dogs and cats. No. There was this thing I really wanted to mention because when I read it, it made me think of you, was Emma Watson, the actress. She talked about this thing of like self-partnered, like the anxiety that she felt turning 30 and like this need to have a husband and a home and a partner and kids and stuff. And later on talked about like, actually she's come to this view of like self-partnership, of that if you can build that core with yourself strong enough, then it does open you up to like, you know, explore other things with other people. And I heard that and I was like, oh, I feel like that's such a beautiful way to talk about it. And I think if a lot of people are honest, are we self-partnered? Like if you have a narrative that tears yourself down or is questioning or thinking you're not good enough because of society's expectations, like, are you partnering yourself, you know?
Yes, but it's not thanks just to me. It's having the support of coaches. It's having sisterhood, having the support of my beautiful best friends. A lot of my best friends are guys, you know, and having a man's perspective on, am I being irrational here? Or just keeping you level-headed, I guess. And self-partnered, yeah, it's an interesting word. I think I mentioned earlier, didn't I? Like, I felt like my home was my partner. It was a really weird thing.
Yeah.
So I actually just sent my house a postcard last week. I know that's really weird. I love postcards. I bought 12 postcards, sent them to like friends, family, godchildren, and there was one left. I'm like, who should I send it to? I'm going to send one to the house.
Right.
How nice. But it was also like, I wonder how long it takes for the postcard to arrive. Anyway, just for multiple reasons why I wanted to. I was like, well, I just quickly need to get this out. So I just sent one. And I know that's like really weird, but then actually, why not? Like the house really does give me so much joy and happiness and love. And so I would say, and the house is almost like an extension of me now. I think when, say, freezing your eggs, you know, you connect with your body and yourself on a much deeper level. You have coaching to help sort of rewire that subconscious to turn those limiting beliefs into more empowering sort of self-concepts, right? And it's a combination to get there. It takes time, and journaling and like having those rituals, you know, like our meditation on Mondays and Wednesdays, journaling and just having really loving, supportive friends just to ride life's waves with you.
Yeah, it's not a solo venture together.
Hell no, it's definitely not.
Okay, I'm gonna wrap this up with yes or mess.
Yeah.
But I'm going to ask you 5 rapid fire questions and you answer the yes if you're into it or mess if you're like, I don't think that's a good route. You can expand a little bit if you really want to. So the phrase, you attract what you are.
Yes.
Mm. Believing there's such a thing as the one.
Ooh, messy yes. Yeah.
Okay. This is a big one. Determinism, for anyone listening, the idea that everything happens in the world is determined completely by previous existing causes. So it's like every choice that you make is already actually laid out, pretty much. Determinism.
Astrology is pretty bang on, isn't it?
Mm.
So, yeah.
Interesting. The mindset, if he wanted to, he would.
The mindset.
Have you heard this before? Like, think of it as like when someone says, oh, you know, he can't make time for this. Like, he's just really, really busy. Da, da, da. There's just a lot going on. Like, it's hard.
Excuses.
And I'm like, no. If he wanted to, he'd do it. I truly believe that if a man is like super interested in someone, they'll move mountains.
If it's not a hell yeah, it's a no.
Mm, that's
same,
true.
Same, but different.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
And the last one, dating for the potential of a person.
Been there, done that, got the t-shirt, the tote bag, and the cap. No.
You got all the merch and you were like, done for that.
No, it's just like trying to fix and support and like just mess.
Not workshopping.
Many messy, amazing messes, but yeah. Good
love
questions.
It. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, my love.
I've enjoyed it.
Me too.
Let's get some delicious food.
Yes.